going to go ahead and continue our media availabilities. We are now joined by Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 AAA Insurance Ford for Team Penske. Thanks for joining us, Joey.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand, and we'll get to you with a mic. We'll start right here on the left, and then go to Nate.
Terrell Covey with the Portsmouth Herald. Joey, you obviously got your first win here. And now, though, you're coming home as a champion for the first time. What does that feel like, and how have you been received this week?
Yeah, it's actually been, I didn't really think about it before I got here much, as you're kind of thinking about how do you win here. And I went out this morning for the Champions Breakfast that Speedway Children's Charities does every year, and you know, to see some of the support there. And I guess that's when it kind of hit me. It's kind of cool to come home for the first time, or at least a home track for the first time since we won the championship. And that's been pretty neat so far. I'm looking forward to Sunday. This is always a fun race for us, but especially because just the support that you know, my team gets and I get here, you know, at home, it's cool. I always say I feel like Dale Jr. here because there's so much 22 gear and you know, a lot of New England race fans rooting for their hometown guy. So that's a pretty special, neat feeling.
Go ahead, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Joey, on NASCAR America on Monday, they reviewed the final restart in Kentucky and pretty much said there was nothing you could do. So I wonder, when you look back at that, do you feel that way? And, you know, in this current era of lower horsepower and having to block, like, both lanes and the drafting style racing now, I mean, is it even being leader with lane choice, is it sometimes not an advantage?
It was a perfect storm, really. I mean, the lineup of that restart, I don't really know what I could have done a whole bunch better. There's one thing I think I could have done a little better. There's a lot of what-ifs in my mind. None of them have the outcome of me winning, I don't believe. Some of them have an outcome of maybe better than, you know, fifth or seventh. Maybe I could still squeak out a top three out of it. But, you know, I mean, it just the way the lineup was with teammates on the inside, teammates behind me, that was a tough spot. It just seems like in today's world, with the less horsepower like that, you know, you're side drafting way earlier than what we used to. You know, we used to start side draft and maybe off the corner and turn two, but now we're going back and forth because we have a longer period of time from the restart zone to turn one, or really until when you lift. You don't lift until you get to turn three now, so you have way more time and distance. That you're wide open and side drafting back and forth, and if cars can get behind you with a big push, you know, like the two Ganassi cars did, and that on top of getting slowed down by the 18 on the side draft, that they were coming at me 5 mile an hour quicker or so, and I couldn't stop it. I just had to pick a lane and hope for the best that someone was going to save me. But just, I guess it was frustrating because we had the race won, basically. I mean, it was over. We were far enough ahead, and then, you know, that happens. That always stings, right? But that's why there's next week all the time. But, you know, I'm not really sure if I could have done anything to successfully win the race. But I think there might have been one or two things I could have done to, I don't know, stop the bleeding a little bit sooner.
We'll come down here to Lee.
LeeSpencerRacingVoice.com. Todd said he had the car set up for long runs, and when you commit to something like that, is there anything you can do in the position you're at to, I guess, negate how severely it's set up for a long run and make it, you know, kind of sort of a short run car when you need it to be?
Yeah, I mean, we had it set up to run the long haul, and it showed how good we were in the long haul. I mean, the first run went pretty long, and we started driving up through the field. I feel like if it went the full stage, we would have been to the lead. You know, but and then the last run obviously was a pretty long run with a green flag cycle, you know, and then boom, drove to the lead, and that whole theory was working out really good. We don't have the opportunity to change anything because we didn't come back down pit road. You know, there's the typical maybe air pressure and maybe fuel load, things like that, that maybe you can adjust a little bit to help your car fire off quicker on a late race restart, but there was never the opportunity for us to come down pit road. You know, if we pitted there with a green-white checker from the lead, we would have came out like 15th. You know, I don't think anyone was going to pit.
Can the driver do anything? I mean, or are you just pot committed at that point?
You're pretty committed, yeah. It's a decision that we made as a team beforehand. You know, and it looked like it was going to work until it didn't. But, you know, I don't think we went the wrong way with it. The race just didn't play the way we thought it would.
And did you guys learn a lot going to Pocono the first time that you can take back when we go next week? And how will the PGA 1 affect the complexion of that racetrack now?
We definitely learned a lot in Pocono. I feel like we made a lot of mistakes, and I feel like we learned a lot from that. So I don't see mistakes as such a negative thing. I kind of think it's a positive because we learned from a lot of them. And with the PGA 1, that'll change some things. I still think what we learned is valuable. But yeah, the groove will probably move around. Things will be different. Yeah, it might come back a little bit like when they had that paved section with the old asphalt there. I don't know, we used to call it the grip strip, but I don't know, call it whatever you want. But that, you know, it may kind of play that way a little bit more, like it used to. So I think that's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm kind of excited about getting back there. Kudos to Pocono and NASCAR on that one though. I mean, try something, right? I think it was, you know, maybe not one of our best races, and I think that was probably well documented afterwards. And let's try something to make it better. And I think honestly, this traction compound that we've been laying down at these racetracks has not hurt. You know, I think Kentucky without it wouldn't have been the same race. I don't think it would have been as good as what it was. I think it'd been really hard to pass without it. But I think that the ability to move up the racetrack and cars be able to go to the bottom and be about the same speed and be able to find clean air, I created a lot of passing, more passing than I thought there would be. So I thought that was a gain. So when you look at that and you look at how Pocono was without it, let's try to apply it and try something different. And, you know, we're going to learn as a team one thing, but I think as a sport, we're going to learn what corners it used was the best. You know, maybe we need to apply it thicker in other corners than some. You know, with three corners there, and maybe some need it more than others. Yeah, I think so. How much does it wear out? How often do you reapply? We learn that as we race. There's no scientific, you know, way of figuring that out until we race, really.
Mark Garrell, PRN. Along the same lines, Joey, what was the most disappointing or troublesome thing about the last race at Pocono? Most frustrating thing, I guess, for the drivers?
Couldn't pass. That's the most frustrating part. But like I said, I think this is going to be directionally better. I think it's definitely going to help the racing. So it should open the racetrack up. It should, you know, if cars start to run the top more in the corners, it's going to allow, like I said, like Kentucky, you're going to be able to go to the bottom and find cleaner air, which will get you to the corner good. And that way the top and the bottom are comparable. Right now you couldn't move up the racetrack. You wouldn't have anywhere to race. It's just too, there's no grip up there before. Now there should be grip up there to where you can go to the bottom and find air. So that's all good.
Were you surprised that the draft didn't work the way people thought it would, and passing would be a little bit easier at Pocono? People were predicting that, you know, we're going to see a lot of drafting and swooping and all this. It just never happened.
I wasn't too surprised by it, actually. I thought, you know, restarts were pretty crazy, and that's normal Pocono with those long straightaways when your restarts and the cars are already two wide and you go three wide and all that. That was all there like normal. That was just as chaotic as it usually is. But, you know, what I think we saw happen is that bubble that we talk about behind the car. When you get to a certain point, certain distance behind the car in front of you, you push that lead car ahead. That lead car actually has less drag than the trailing car when you get to a certain point. That's what we need to try to fix, right? Because that's what, you know, you get the draft and then it stops. So if you're able to somehow continue that momentum to the back bumper of a car, you'll see more passing. So I think that'll be an adjustment for the cars in the future.
We'll come right down here to your left again, and then we'll go to Reed and then to the back.
All right, so Joey, you're obviously at the peak right now, but we have a couple other New England guys who are making their Cup debut this weekend. I know you're going to kind of focus on yourself, but have you had an opportunity to touch base with Andy Seiss or Austin Terrio and talk to them about this opportunity that's before them this weekend?
I have not had a chance to talk to them. Honestly, I don't really know them that well. Maybe I know Austin a little better than Andy, but it is cool to see the New England guys get into this more and more. You know, you think about these race teams, and I think it's, you know, a lot of people think of NASCAR's heritage as a, you know, southeastern sport, but man, you think of what kind of racers come out of New England, I think Dick Bergeron's museum out there, the Northeast Motorsports Museum, really shows how really present motorsports is in the New England area. So it's special to be a part of that heritage. It's really cool to be able to see that and to see more. But when you look at the race teams out here, there's a lot of crew guys that are from up here, like come from modified racing or just racing up in this area and whatever it may be. There's a lot. I mean, the majority of my team is from around here, not too far, and that's a lot of fun for us to be a part of.
Come down here to Reed.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire. The history of this track says that if you're good here once, you're good here a number of times. And there are six guys in the field that have won three races here. You and Clint have won a couple each. Is this a field track, kind of like Martinsville, where you something clicks and you get it, and you're good pretty much all the time through generations of race cars and that sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. This racetrack is one that, for me earlier in my career is the most frustrating track for me to go to, which always was awful because it's my home track and it's where you want to run the best, right? But for years, it was the most challenging track for me to get my head wrapped around. But like you said, there's tracks like New Hampshire or Richmond or Martinsville that seems like, and even Sonoma is a little bit like this, is once you get something that works and the driver and the team really understand what you need to be good, not just in practice, not just in qualifying, but in the race when you have a long run or trying to pass cars and what traffic and restarts are. And once you kind of figure out that balance, because it's never perfect here. It never drives the way you want it to. If it does, it does for three laps, and then something goes wrong, whether your front or your rear tires give up. So, trying to figure out that compromise here with this flat corners like that, it seems like once somebody gets their head wrapped around it and understands it, they get it for a while, and it doesn't matter if they're racing tricycles or cup cars out there, they have it figured out, and that's just kind of how this place is. And I still don't feel like I have it figured out by no means, but we get closer and closer to where we need to be.
And we'll wrap up in the back.
Hi, Joey. Rich Thompson, Boston Herald. It's kind of simplistic, but does defending the cup title feel any different than chasing it?
I still feel like I'm chasing it, I guess is my answer to that. I think we accomplished the goal last year, and we're trying to accomplish the same goal this year. Doesn't make a difference whether we won or not last year. Our goal is the same this year. Still want to win the championship. So nothing new. Feel like we're in a better spot this year than we were last year at this point. We got more speed in our cars, got more playoff points, more wins. So, should have a few more wins. But, overall, the speed's there, and I think that's a key thing to think about right now. So we just got to continue that into the playoffs and have the run that we did last year through those 10 races.
All right, that'll wrap it up. Thanks, Joey.
All right, great.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.